Namaste and welcome to this February week one update for the homework. And we only have the three homeworks today, so we'll get started on that. So the first one says, Hi Helen, when I asked you if everything is a reflection, you said yes. There is something that I don't understand. Two children were starting their first day of school, but the school had to shut and they couldn't attend. One child was really happy he didn't have to go. The other child was really sad as he was looking forward to it. What was the dream for? What is the dream for, excuse me? What is the school reflecting? So that's a really good question to ask. And we can tell what the reflection was based on the reaction of the child. So the first child says that, is reacting in a positive way, that they didn't have to go. And the second child was reacting in a negative way because they really wanted to go. So we can see the evidence even here of this belief that I can't get what I want playing out. The first child really doesn't have any idea about that, or it isn't playing in this area, the karmic pattern. And the happiness is indicative that they're in this particular area, at least, they're not believing this thought at all. And it doesn't mean to say it won't happen later in life, but there's a sense of feeling life always goes the way I want it to. Life is for me, with me, all of that stuff. So the first child gets to experience what they wanted, which is to not go. They didn't have to go, so they're happy. So then the school closing is a reflection of the sense that they didn't want to go anyway. The second child then is showing us the opposite, basically saying that there's a real feeling this person can't, this child can't get what they want. And he really, really wanted to go, he or she really wanted to go, and then it was closed. So the sadness is indicative of I can't get what I want at all. I've lost what I need to be happy. In this case, for this child, it was, you know, spending the day at school. So you can always always tell what is going on in the reflection, why the reflection is happening. We can have the same reflection for two different people, just like, you know, but it means different things to each being. So this lockdown that we're in right now, for some people, it's a horrible situation and it's causing them great pain. For others, it's exactly what they wanted, more time to themselves, etc. And it causes every attitude in between. But it is this belief playing out here that I can't get what I want, or I can get what I want, whichever. And it doesn't mean to say the first child wouldn't experience disappointment at somewhere else in life, you know, some other place. Maybe he really wants the unconditional love of a parent and isn't experiencing that, or maybe the second child that was sad at the school being closed immediately gets some gift that they've been wanting, something shows up for them. It's just where it's playing out in our individual lives, this belief, isn't it? So I hope that helps. The second one says, I've been looking at the belief behind certain situations in my life. It has been illuminating, to say the least. I can now see the belief was the cause and the effect was in the reflection and the experience. I'm looking at this repeatedly, particularly in this area, and already things are softening. The core belief of I can't get what I want is proven to me in many areas. Trying to change the reflection is pointless, although that happens to a degree naturally. But working and recognizing the belief is paramount. I have seen this to a degree before, and now it's even clearer again. Now it's again clearer. Everything I experience is a reflection on result or result of this belief. No blame, just joy at seeing this and recognizing it in areas and being able to say, I'm believing it there too. I believe I will continue to see it more. Watching self appear as ego forgetting briefly is beautiful to recognize. The main difference for me is no recriminations, just keeping a belief in my consciousness. Joining the GP session today, I recognize that unconditional love is allowing all of the beliefs to be seen without finding fault or berating. Amazing session, thanks to all. So that's really key, isn't it? This sense that I don't need to be blaming myself when I see these things. If I blame myself, then that's conditional love. And that may happen anyway. And with that, some trying to change the reflection will be happening still. There's a move to unconditional love, as you said here so well. The main difference is no recriminations, just being able to see it so much clearer. If I keep blaming myself only and don't also have this greater attitude of I couldn't change it till I saw it and I couldn't see it till I see it, then you'd be able to see these things, but you won't be able to transcend them if we're blaming ourselves only. We'll see them and then we'll forget them because we want to go back into blaming conditional love. Only unconditional love is going to heal them and change the reflection to something that resembles what we do want rather than what we don't want. Unconditional love is going to allow this transformation very, very quickly. And when we don't need anything to change because we're already loving and approving of ourselves, recognizing that it's difficult for anyone to see these beliefs until we see them, and that everyone, even the greatest awakened beings that have ever walked this planet, have had this same process, that we can't see it until we see it, then we stop blaming ourselves. And even after we have seen it, we're still seeing it with judgment for a while, that this is evidence of something, that you can't get what you want in some way, as you've said. And only when you've seen that playing in enough areas does it really gather momentum that this is just, I'm just experiencing what I feel is true on some level. And I keep going and referencing this belief unconsciously without realizing. So it's very, very good to hear. You keep seeing it, it gets clearer and clearer, doesn't it? And you can come out of it easier and easier. You don't have to do anything other than see it and see it without judgment and see the judgment also, if there is any, without judgment. Some part of me thinks this is evidence I'm doing something wrong, that this belief is still playing. And I can understand that, but I'm also not going to agree with it. It's good that I'm seeing it. It's good that it's coming clearer. And then it begins to shift very, very quickly. And really, all we've got to do is unconditionally love these karmic patterns and accept that they're not evidence of failure or anything. They're evidence of success now that we're seeing them. It means we really want to see. And that has been the uphill struggle for most of us, wanting to see. If I think that seeing some karmic pattern or something going wrong in my body or my finances or my relationships is evidence of my failure to awaken, for example, of course I'm not going to want to see it. I'm going to try to put my head in the sand like the ostrich. And we're all doing that because I don't want to see something that's going to make me feel bad. But it's only making me feel bad because I'm blaming myself, saying this means I'm not there yet or something like that, doesn't it? This means I can't feel peace yet or something similar. So very good progress to hear. Very good. And you just eventually just you say, oh, it's happening there, it's happening there, it's happening there, this belief. And really, I've only ever found those, I mean, there's subsidiary beliefs, but branches off the tree, but there's, I can't get what I want. I'm really not good enough, or, you know, I'm not unworthy of happiness, success, awakening, whatever, and I'm not safe. And those three feed into each other while we're believing any one of them. You know, if I don't feel safe, I'm going to try to feel better, be better than I am, more awakened than I am, better this, that, and the other, so that I feel safer. And I won't be able to get that because I don't feel safe. So I'll start to feel, I won't be able to get what I want to feel safe. So I'll start to feel I can't get what I want, and around it goes. really, they're all three the same thing, but they're these three core beliefs that really begin to sabotage our seeing of these karmic patterns, the way that those beliefs are playing out in our life. So just seeing it without judgment is the key. It doesn't mean that there's to be an absence of judgment, but seeing it without judgment too, also, second opinion, you know. If you were going to see a doctor about some medical issue and the doctor's opinion wasn't really helping or might be making it worse, of course you'd seek a second opinion, wouldn't you? You'd go to another doctor or a specialist in that field, and that's really what we're doing here. We've tried the opinion of ego and it isn't really working to resolve these things. You're not going to go tell that doctor they're really, really wrong. You're just going to seek a second opinion. And the self has that higher wisdom to finally undo this. So very, very good. Okay, last but not least. Hi, Helen. This is a quote from the document of advanced contemplations I put on the graduate page. What manifests is influenced by what has already shown up in form. I've been contemplating this. What would it be like to have the highest expression show up? I went through my day looking at all the evidence of what I do not want, and I turned the other cheek. Things kept coming up with colleagues, patients, family. I just turned my attention, not with denial or coldness, but with a recognition that I have a choice. These problems are starting to look less real as I do this. When I look at the alchemy of what we would call a miracle, I can see how my refusal to agree with what has manifested opens a whole new world of possibilities. I am, through these appearances, recognizing the unconscious loop upon which I am creating and have begun to experiment with this. What I see is that there cannot be a hierarchy regarding evidence, meaning some evidence is more or less formidable. If the power of the self is equally present everywhere at all times, then the evolution and appearance of form is limited only by the thoughts that shape its expression. Again, another quote. And it is never finished. There is no such thing as a finished result. To make a spiritual practice out of these truths excites me. My opportunities are endless as a physician. I have dreaded seeing patients that bring up feelings of helplessness within me as their conditions seem dire and hopeless. This is shifting for me as I recognize the self in all things, and my belief that manifestation can ever be finished is shifting. I am making this my own spiritual practice as I challenge the personal evidence that comes up in my life. I embrace my feelings about this at the same time, acknowledging that fear, doubt, or any form of contradiction within me, which is also evidence, cannot change the truth. I have recently opened my curiosity to do this more and more, asking to know what it would be like to embody this truth. And I continue to ask, do the laws that would seem to affect everyone, again, evidence, bend to natural law when all ideas and thoughts cease for the individual, not on behalf of another because you answered that one, but on behalf of oneself, meaning when I've applied all that I've talked about above to myself, is it done unto me as I believe? So, absolutely, you are the law, you are the universal power, you are the one being. And it will happen to you as you believe it will. And the error that most of us make is to reference what we've already created as evidence of supporting evidence for these attitudes, these beliefs inside, as you've pointed out here. And a miracle then is when I decide not to reference anything for allowing, shaping the next moment. And crucial to realize, as you did, that that is what a miracle is. The same old karmic patterns play when I look at the reflection I've created, it's been mirrored back to me, and use that as evidence to continue agreeing with this feeling and thought inside. When I suddenly draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to do that anymore, then something miraculous can happen, because form is only limited by the thoughts. Most of us are referencing everything we think based on what we see in our experience and what we feel. And eventually we have to step out of that and say, I don't know what's coming next. I don't have to look at the reflection and agree with it and therefore feel justified in continuing this belief. At some point, I will step out of it. And as you said very clearly, if you're in front of a patient whose condition is chronic, dire, or life-threatening, you know, which I don't know if you deal with those kind of patients, but it would be easy to look at that situation and continue to feel that you can't get what you want. It would be, everybody in the entire world probably would agree with you there, wouldn't they? But you're beginning to see your own power, the power. When you look at a situation like the great beings like Christ did, and his miraculous healing power was from his inability to reference anything that he saw. Even when he saw some leper or some person with some really bad condition, somebody who was had been diagnosed with a fatal disease, he could not and would not allow that to suggest anything to him, allow him to change what he felt was true. And he felt that he was that infinite power. He is that infinite power. And so is the person in front of him, although they're convinced they're a person. And you can do this too, that he knew, and all great beings do, that anything is possible in any moment. We only believe that that's not true because we keep shaping the manifestation, which is always ongoing, as you've said, based on what we're seeing in the reflection. But the reflection is a reflection of the belief. So are we going to step out of the belief, or are we going to continue to feel justified in believing it? And therefore we get more of the same. Karmic patterns are literally this. I reference what's going on. I agree with how my belief suggests I should feel. And I've got lots of evidence, years and years of evidence of feeling this way and experiencing it. Eventually you step out of that. You go, that is no good reason for me to agree with this. This thing that's happening in my body, in my mind, in my work, in my finances, in my relationships, in my patients, in my friendships, in my awakening, in my fill in the blank, is no good reason to keep feeling justified in this belief. And it's never going to change. Well, it will change extraordinarily slowly while I'm still agreeing with this belief. But you know, the amazing power you have in the situation you are in is to not, of course the beliefs are going to be suggested to you. There's nothing I can do to help this being. And that's the feeling of helplessness that you've suggested, that you feel, you know, where you just don't want to. And it's the same for me in a way, a different way. If somebody is talking to me and they're convinced, absolutely convinced, that they can't get beyond this karmic pattern, convinced that they're never going to wake up, convinced beyond anything I can say to them that will get through to them, that they don't deserve it anyway, what can I do to help them? Are they going to be able to hear my words? Maybe, maybe not. But I can sit here and absolutely know that they can snap out of that in any moment. Any moment. I am holding that possibility open because that's all I can do now. It's so much more fun, joyful, effortless, easy, powerful, freeing to experience life without those beliefs. And you can begin to really experience this. You probably already have in your practice as well, but in your own existence. And this is what Christ meant when he said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and then righteousness, which is the right attitude, the right seeing, the right, you know, this is just my take on it, of course, but the right understanding that there is nothing at all that can stop me as the infinite being from having what I want. And there is no end to this manifestation. It's a constant, effortless sculpting going on. Most of us are sculpting by default, looking at what they see in the reflection in the mirror. And it's like someone saying, right, you know what, I want to lose 20 pounds, but I'm not going to change my diet or do anything until my reflection in the mirror looks thinner. And it might seem ludicrous, but it's what we're all doing until we don't. When you really get this on a deep level, it's absolutely life-changing. You be that person, you become that person that miracles happen around. There is nothing that love cannot heal at all. And your love for them is your absolute, well, one of the ways you express it is your absolute refusal to agree with what they are utterly convinced with. And you can see with some chronic condition, especially in the body, or chronic condition in the finances or something, where this attitude is so believed. And even when they're sitting with an awakened being, they still can't hear the words. But the energy field that radiates from you when you don't agree with them, not verbally, of course you're not going to say it verbally, and you'll you might even sympathize with them in your words. You might even, yeah, I understand how I feel that way, and you know, all of that. But inside there's just a refusal to agree with anything. And this is a perfect spiritual practice. Perfect. This is living as the self. This is it. Where do I perceive limitations? And can I move beyond them? There's nothing that can limit you. You are the limitless one. And it's very exciting to me to read this. Very exciting. When I really got this, you know, it's a gift to give to the world, where you cannot believe or agree with. If I agree with someone's idea that they can't wake up or something, then I'm taking away their chance in any moment. Of course, unconsciously, till I realize. But what I'm sure of in here has to begin to reflect out there. Anything is possible, anything at all. Of course, there are, you know, limits on manifestation. If you're appearing as a human being, it's very unlikely you're going to grow wings and fly away, although I'm not precluding that possibility. But things like the healing of the body, we can see in these great beings that that is instantaneously possible. Things just clear up around them, miraculous healings. And what is the cause of that? It's that being's refusal to agree with any attitude that that being has. And I can't remember who it was that touched Christ's cloak and experienced that miracle. And he said, your faith has healed you. And what he meant was, she knew, she was convinced that the power of the self, of love, of what was real, was much more powerful than any illness in the body. And that the illness in the body was just a reflection. There isn't such a thing as illness, really. It's a reflection, not on its own. It cannot exist on its own without it being a reflection. Without any of the reflections, there's health and wellness and well-being and vitality and all good things that we're seeking. And that's what he meant when he said, all else will be added unto you. So he said, your faith healed you because you knew, just to be in that field where you couldn't believe for a moment what you were believing before, was enough to heal. Interestingly enough, if we look at the Christ story a little bit deeper, some people that he healed, they went, after a little while, they went right back to the person that he told to go to the temple, and they didn't. their illness came back because their belief system had, they'd picked it back up again after they left him, left his aura, left his energy field. The great thing about the situation you're in, wow, what a difference that could make. It is exciting. It will benefit you and it will just benefit everyone. Everything we're seeing in every moment is always a reflection of what we believe. And when we can't believe anything, even though these attitudes might still be suggested, you notice that feeling of helplessness that rises when you're with a patient and you say, no, I'm not agreeing with that. There are infinite possibilities in this moment. And there's no such thing as a finished result, as you said here so well. My opportunities are endless as a physician. That is exciting to me. Absolutely exciting. Wonderful. So on behalf of yourself, I just want to make sure I've answered your question. Yeah. And the fact that you're even asking this question, is it done unto me as I believe? Is evidence that you're already applying it, you know? It is nothing that cannot change. Some places in your life, it may take you a little while to see that you're still believing in some limitation. But as soon as you see, you can let go of that idea. Limitation being, I can't get what I want. It's a symptom of being a finite being, isn't it? What I want might change. It might be healing. It might be awakening. It might be more money. It might be whatever it is. That could go on forever. But this idea that I can't get it, there is no good reason in the end to believe that. And the only reason we have is the evidence has been showing us. But even in an area where we feel, we start from a place where we feel it's impossible to get what we want, where the worldly situation looks impossible. As you said, no evidence can be more formidable. You know, if somebody has a chronic disease or something like that, that is reflecting back how impossible they feel it is to have what they want. You know, so we see diseases mirroring back this feeling that it's impossible for me to experience the love and the approval that I need and want because I'm so unworthy or something. And whatever the person is feeling deep down. So there's nothing, even such a thing as incurable, except for where the person's attitude is incurable. And your attitude for them and for yourself will override everything. It will bring that awakened field instantaneously. It's already happening for you. And it's very, very exciting. Thank you for sharing that. Really. Okay, so that concludes the homework for this week. I hope you're all enjoying the course and getting on well with the unconditional love homework. It's really a continuation of what we were doing in January, but perhaps in an easier way, more digestible. So thank you.